Murphy's Law.
Well, good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. I've always wondered when I read this passage what those other things were that John didn't write in the book. I think they would probably be really fascinating. Okay, so here we go. I'll reorganize. So as a kid, when I was growing up, my brothers and I were a bit of a rowdy bunch. And one of the really annoying things that we did was to reject a statement of some kind, whatever it was, by saying, "I doubt it." Something somebody knew or didn't know, but just out of the blue, "I doubt it." There's no real response to this. I mean, what are you going to say? But it kind of ended the conversation. Now, unless the doubting one was really obnoxious, which they might have been, and continued to doubt everything the other person said, "I doubt it, I doubt it," it got really old. Sometimes the response to "I doubt it" would be, "Prove it." And then there'd be, "Prove it." You say something, "Prove it." Oh boy, we were obnoxious. It was really annoying. Usually there was no proof, there was no merit to anything that was being said that needed to be doubted or proved. We hear Thomas say, "I doubt it." Not in those words, but in what he says. Today we hear Thomas wonder if it was true. He didn't believe his friends. And unlike my childhood game, his doubt and need of proof were not an annoying request. Like in my childhood game, his fellow disciples couldn't prove it. And the coolest thing about it is that even in Thomas's deep doubt, Jesus shows up. And I hesitate to even put that word "daring" Thomas. I mean, who wouldn't doubt? Who wouldn't say to his friends, you got to be kidding me? It's a lot to believe without seeing. These were his friends, his fellow disciples, and he just wasn't willing to take their word for it. So Jesus shows up. There are two things here that kind of resonate with me. The first one is that the scripture tells us that when we are in, tells me that we are in deepest doubt or deepest whatever, the weeds, the wilderness time, whatever we call it, Jesus comes to us. The key is do we acknowledge him? Do we know that Jesus is with him? Jesus, the crucified and resurrected man who died for us and invites us into the eternal heavenly kingdom, is there with us at all times. And the second thing I find significant in this scripture is the message that it is okay to have doubts. I mean, really, like I said already, who wouldn't? If you heard or told a story that said there was a man who was God's child, and he walked all over the earth, and he healed people and made miracles, and then got nailed to a cross and died, but he didn't really die. How convincing would that be? Would it be something that they would hear? What would they think of that story? Many people say, "I doubt it." And some people want to say, "Prove it." So we're counting the days of Easter to Pentecost. And this, as similar to this Christmas celebration, Easter is not just one day. There are actually 50 days in the season of Eastertide. For 40 days, and this number is not accidental, it reminds us of the 40 days in the wilderness and the 40 days of Lent. Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples after the resurrection, and on the 40th day, we celebrate his ascension into heaven. And then it's 10 days until Pentecost, Thursday. It's amazing how these things just line up. I'm always find it incredible and credible at the same time. Oftentimes, I'm like Thomas. I desire and long for proof that Jesus indeed was resurrected after dying on the cross. This is mainly the case during what I refer for myself as wilderness time, a time where it seems like God isn't with me. God is nowhere, and yet I know God is everywhere, just not right here. Certainly, the disciples could be described as being in wilderness time after Jesus' death. They were gathered locked up in fear. They didn't know what to do or what to think. So I can wrap my brain about the idea that the Holy Spirit is with us always. I can wrap my brain around the events of Jesus' death and resurrection. I can wrap my brain around all of that. But the key is to wrap my heart around it. Thomas wants to see for himself. Who can blame him? Some days I want to see for myself. I want proof. Proof that the Holy Spirit is indeed with me and with us everywhere. The tricky part for me, like I said, is accepting with our heart that indeed this is true. And by the way, it's perfectly fine to have times of wonder. Now, wonder can be thought of as a kind of a positive thing or a negative thing. But whether it's a positive wondering whether this is all true, or a negative wondering this is all true, if it's a positive that you stand and wonder that it is all true, either one is a witness to the greatness of God as we try to figure it out in relationship in our prayer life with Jesus and God. God's greatness is real. But I am wondering if we have an opportunity to grow in our relationship with God in those times of wondering if God is alive, wondering if it all really happened. Some of us long for proof. I do. I'll go for a while and I'm okay, and I'm like, all right, God, show up for me, please. And sometimes what people have referred to as a mountaintop experience is something that people deeply desire. They want to see that transfiguration, that marvelous thing. They hold up the tablets themselves. And yet many of us never really have that kind of experience. And yet, wait a minute, I call upon you to recognize the presence and power of Jesus in our lives. Every time Jesus shows up, which is pretty much all the time, we are invited into a mountaintop experience. It's not something that we often recognize because it's so quiet and so subtle. But in the Easter story, we know that there are other times where Jesus presents himself after the resurrection to someone who doesn't recognize or believe that they were in the presence of Jesus. So it's not unusual or a bad thing that you don't really recognize that Jesus is there. What will it take for that to happen? Each one of us has to delve into that discernment process individually. But if you think about it, when Mary came out of the tomb, she saw Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. She didn't recognize him until he spoke to her. Peter and the beloved disciple went to the tomb to see, because they couldn't believe the women, went to the tomb to see and found it empty. Found it empty. But they still didn't quite get it. It took Jesus showing up for them to actually believe in the resurrection, and that's okay. So what I wonder is, have you missed some times when Jesus showed up? I think I have. So what that calls me to do is to be more aware of how the Holy Spirit works in the world and how the Holy Spirit loves and protects me. God's presence is indeed always with us and around us. But sometimes we don't really get it, and that's okay. So as part of our discernment process as a congregation, I want to share with you all the two lists of words that were on the papers that we did. These things never open and close when you want them to. All right, so first, let's look at go. All right, these are things that you all wrote. Go carefully and thoughtfully. And just remember, I think I've told you this before, that these markers contain a plethora of misspelled words. And sometimes they just come out. Love this time. And wait for inspiration. Is good on these whiteboards. We can engage in parallel time with waiting. We can take time to make disciples. And somebody wrote, when God says go, I go, go, go. Follow God's lead. When the light turns green, what I expected the rest of this sentence to be was that you should go when the light turns green. But what this person wrote is really interesting. The paths converge, not just this, that we go, but paths converge. I'm going to abbreviate a little bit because I'm running out of room. And right doors open when the Holy Spirit, right doors open. When the Holy Spirit shows up, go forward in confidence in God. And listen. Listen for God's response. Follow the Lord's plan. Oh, that's a good thing. I don't have to teach people. So now, here's what's interesting. Wait. This is what you all wrote. Make good use of waiting time. that you'll think about these things as I write them and not just be bored by the fact that it's taking me forever. Time to answer all the questions. And this is an important one, because I know we all have questions. We all have questions about what our future is going to be. Wait for a sign. And believe that the Lord will guide us. Listen quietly. Maybe do some journaling. Listen to others' opinions. I'm going to put listen here because there's a bunch of those. Others' opinions. Psalm 27:14. Gives us clarity and strength. Oh, I messed up my listening list. It's okay. I hope you realize how amazing this is. And renewal, time for renewal. Again, listen. Renewal as in Isaiah. Oops, sorry. 40:31. This is a great one. Discerning is God's playground in the human heart. Conjured up quite an image for me to think of God in my heart having a good old time. It's really fun. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. So why did I do all this? It certainly wasn't to there's a bunch of other listen is written several other times. Wasn't just to semi-entertain you. It's to remind us of these things that we have to be discerning in this next time of looking towards growth and change at St. Francis. If I were to write all of the listening references, there would be a significant number more comments on the wait side than on the go side. What that tells me is that as a church family, as a congregation, you are prepared to wait, to listen to one another, to be aware of others' opinions, and not reject them without thought and prayer. It's going to be a busy time. It's going to be an interesting time. There's a lot of things to consider. So if you think of other things, just either you can come up here and write, you can erase something and write it, or guess what? There's a whole nother side. So if you think of something you'd like to share that isn't up here, please feel free. I'm going to leave these right here, because this, again, this process of listening and how we're going to go is not going to be a one-shot deal. It's going to be a process that we all participate in. So I want to make sure we are all heard. And I want to make sure that we all understand what it is that we're doing as a congregation. So, when does God show up in your life? Where does God show up in your life? One of the most profound places that God shows up in my life is when I open my eyes in the morning and I'm still here. I know that God's not finished with me. God's not ready to let me enter the heavenly kingdom. It'll happen one day, but not today. And so since it's not today, I need to make as the most of today that I can. Not just thinking about this place, but considering when do I go and when do I wait? Amen.